Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory, and it's good to be here. We thank God that we're here just another day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So it's good to be here just one more time on a Blog Talk Radio. And we want to make sure we give out our call number, a guest call-in number, should you desire to call the show, Truth Ministry. You have a question or you have a comment, you can do so, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. And also, we want to thank all of our Twitter listeners, all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, and also all of our Facebook friends and followers on our show, listening to our show. Thank God for you. So it's just so good to be able to bring the Word of God. So that is a blessing. Be able to impart in the Word of God, get into the Word, and share the Word of God. So we thank God that we've been able to do just that. Also, all of our LinkedIn followers and listeners, so our Blog Talk friends and followers, our LinkedIn listeners, our Twitter listeners, our Facebook listeners, you are welcome to Truth Ministry. So we've been talking about word power for quite a while now, and so there is power where the word of a king is. There is power. So there is power in the word, and when we started off, we were in the Gospels, and then so we saw and showed that His word was with power, and that is Jesus Himself doing during His earthly ministry. So obviously our theme is the Godhead. You're the God who is the head of all things. So there is only one. Blessed Jesus. He is the one. So this is what it's all about. The death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the ascension, and sending back the Holy Ghost. Also, He's going to come back to receive the church. That is called the rapture or the appearing, when He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That is called the rapture of the church. We shall not all sleep, Paul says. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's talking about the alive and remain people. But the dead going to hear the voice of the Son of God, dead in the grave, that is, and come forth. They that have done good to eternal life, they have done bad, evil to eternal damnation. So we all, this, we got to look at ourselves on this one. So we can too many times blame things on others, and sometimes we get accused, knowing that's the devil's job to accuse people. He is the accuser of the brethren. So, you know, then the mind game, the whole mind game is from hell itself. That's what the devil does. Is nothing but a mind game to try to trap you in your words, just like he did Jesus. But we want you to know, as we know, that there is one Lord, there is one Spirit, one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is the letter, one of Apostle Paul's prison epistles that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian saints. These people were already saved. They already been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. They already received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So these are Spirit-filled believers. And these letters were written that we know how to walk. In the book of Acts, we come out, and the epistles shows us how to walk. The book of the Revelation, he'll take us out of this world. Those that are alive and remain, even those that are in the graves, going to get up. In the book of Daniel, so there's no one that went directly to heaven, but one man, Elijah, was taken into heaven, up into heaven in a whirlwind. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Moses died. God buried him. So there's no such thing as this foolishness that people come up with. They got to get past St. Peter. No, Peter is asleep too in the grave. He was the one who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He had the power and the authority. That's why he preached the first message. They preached Jesus out of the law. They preached Jesus out of the prophets. They preached Jesus out of the Psalms. So Peter had to be saved just like everyone else. So he was an apostle. He was an eyewitness. He was taught personally by the Lord. He walked with him. He saw him. He was one of the jobs of an apostle. They were eyewitnesses. They walked with him, talked with him. They laid the foundation of the New Testament church. They wrote the letters. They wrote the Acts. They wrote the letters. Peter has two books, 1st and 2nd Peter. And also, they died horrible deaths. So they were the ones that he handpicked. So that was their job. So Peter don't have no heaven or no hell to put nobody in, but he was just a spokesperson chosen by the Lord God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we moving on. We've been talking the last few weeks about the last 3 weeks, actually, about the early church. So we're going to do a part three on that, you know, a subtopic, word power, but our theme, the Godhead. So today we're going to talk about Ananias and his wife, Sapphira, sold a possession, kept back part of the price. So we're going to we ended up in the fourth chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and we talked about the man that was laid at the beautiful gate, then the temple and Solomon's porch, and how the man was healed by Peter and John. The man was asking of alms because he couldn't walk, so he couldn't work. So God healed the man, and the man was above 40 years old, who was healed. So now we're not going to get off track with realizing what we've been talking about, actually the things that happened after the resurrection. So this is what we're still talking about in the early church, after the resurrection, things that happened. So that's why we end up, because we were dealing with the resurrection out of the book of Matthew, out of the book of Mark, Luke, and John, but probably more importantly, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then so they give a lot of information about him, especially they thought he was the gardener in the 24th chapter of Luke. And so how we end up really focusing on moving into the Acts of the Apostles, because Luke was the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles. So we go on here. So we ended up talking about the love that they had, and the things, the love that the apostles had. Nobody was without. Nobody said what they had was their own, but they had love in their heart. They bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, that's not a job for us to do today, but the important part was the love that they had. And this is what Jesus put emphasis on in the 13th chapter of St. John, in the 15th chapter, that he said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So that's so important, to have the love of God. And this is what the Bible said: therefore, being justified by faith, in the Romans, the 5th chapter, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so, and he went on to say, "We glory in tribulations. Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us." So this is the only way you can have the love of God, is you have to have the born-again experience, have the Holy Ghost, to have the unfeigned love of the brethren. That means it's real. It's not fake. It's genuine, and it only comes from God himself. So we're moving on here today, where we're talking about Ananias and his wife lied about the price of the land they sold. So this is some of the things that went on in the early church, is what we are focusing in on. "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So in other words, he lied. He didn't tell of the price that the land was sold. That's all he had to do. So anyway, so he goes on here. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. And the young men rose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. So she didn't even know her husband was dead and buried. Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." And Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. So you see, things that apostles do. We're still talking about word power. Remember when Jesus gave Peter the keys back in Matthew and makes mention of it? He says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee," talking, still talking to Peter, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That is, the church still has binding and loosing power. That means exactly what it says. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose it in heaven. It means exactly what it says. So that is what happened. Peter was using the authority that he had. And so, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, remember, we heard mention about Solomon's porch on last week when the man at the beautiful gate got healed, who couldn't walk all of his life. And Peter said, him and John, "Look on us," you know, and told him, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He did. His ankle bones received strength, and he was walking and leaping and praising God. So God healed him. So that's what we would call, and today we would say that was impromptu, what happened. So God can do that. He is the judge of the quick and the dead. He can do things like that, and he does. So you as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you don't know what God is going to do through an individual. You just have to be led by the Spirit. He already said these signs shall follow them that believe. What they're going to do in his name, they're going to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we don't know. We know he's able to do it, so we just have to be led of the Spirit. So many believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So they're saying just at the least. So in other words, they knew that these men, Peter and John and those that were with them, and actually this is the birth of the church, because we had already been at it about 5,000 men. So it's thousands of people that are in the church now, because this is the beginnings of the church. And so healing is going on. God is showing up and God is showing out, and the devil is mad. He don't like it. That's why they said they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, as we see over chapter of the Acts. So they're going on here. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about under the Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. They were troubled, and they were healed every one. Now, why isn't that going on nowadays? People are too focused on money and sowing a seed and talking about material things. They're not really focusing on the salvation of souls and people being, and so this is, and the reason why people were, these miracles were done in John, the 20th chapter, that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. That is why the Lord Jesus himself performed the miracles that he did during his earthly ministry, so people would believe. So we got to get back to that. People believing God, not this is your day and your season and sowing a seed. Those are lying prophets. They're all on TV, and, you know, they're lying. Your God had me to say this. God ain't had you to say nothing. You lying. Shut up. They won't tell you how to get saved. All they're talking about is money. So there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. So we have to pay very close attention to that. All of them were healed. So remember what I said earlier? Because they had trouble back then preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus in the third chapter of Acts. So as we move on here, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. So why is that? And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So that's ridiculous. I mean, so that's the devil, because he knew God was using these men. So he want to lock them up and shut them up and stop them up. But you can't stop God from working. So we'll see as we go on here. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said. So many times you'll see the term the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament and in the New. There are times it's actually the Lord himself. So the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go. Stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them bought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut, with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubt of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told him, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. So what are they talking about? Teaching in the third chapter of the Acts, don't teach in the name of Jesus. But you can't stop the people of God, the men of God, from teaching what he said. So that's an intimidation from the devil. No. Yeah, we said that. Yeah, that's what they told him. But you think you're going to stop them? No. We'll see as we go on here. So we go on here. So if it's, let's see, then came one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men which you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers, brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. So I'm just going back over this a little bit, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? What name? Jesus. A question. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. The word doctrine is teaching. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. What? They're talking about Jesus' blood. So, because they shed innocent blood. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are as witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Remember, if you you listened to last week's broadcast, I said that they used to have a saying years ago. Said the word of God will do one of two things. It'll either make you shout and glad or make you fight and mad. So when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. What? The word is live. The word is living. The word is live. So what did he say? We are witnesses of these things. So also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So they're just preaching Jesus, the Prince of Life. So they heard, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one of the council, one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among the people and commanded to put the apostles forth faces, said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For and now this is the doctor of the law, Gamaliel. Before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. So what is he saying? God put a stop to them. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. So you can't win against God. They had a play out many years ago. Your arms are too short to box with God. God is a spirit. He's an invisible spirit. You can't beat him. This is why he came in the person of Jesus Christ, so he could be made visible and show you who God was in a human form. He became a man. You read in the book of found as fashion of a man, wherefore God has highly exalted him, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you go in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, he said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess unto me. So Paul got the revelation in the book of Isaiah, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess to God. Paul got the revelation of the incarnate Christ. He is God. Every knee and every tongue, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess to the name of Jesus, because he is the one. Now, you got to remember, you go back in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He went on to say, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have we done this in your name and done that in your name, and many wonderful works. I will profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So there's a lot of people doing things in the name of Jesus, but they have not been born again. So they really don't have the authority to do nothing. They're just wasting their time. They're going to end up in the devil's hell because they're not doing what God told them to do. They went off and done their own thing. So he goes on to say, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And so this is the Pharisee named Gamaliel. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Talking about the apostles. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So this is what they preach. This is what they taught. So people really have the new birth. They've been born again. They've been water baptized in the name of Jesus. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. they understand the oneness, if the oneness has been revealed unto them, if they've been taught by, like Paul said, the things which you that you have heard and seen of me, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. This is in Timothy, and it's Pauline epistle, his pastoral epistle that he wrote to his son Timothy in the gospel. So if you believe it, you will say it. So a lot of people are just going through the motions. They're, you know, prostituting, as it were, the church. You made a club out of it, made a financial organization out of it, lying to people, making a joke out of it. It is not a joke. Trying to be nice about it, and it's not nice. It's a bloody gospel. He gave his life. He was beat. His visage was marred more than any of the sons of men, talking about Jesus. That is, he was beat beyond recognition. He took all of that for us. He fulfilled the scriptures. He came to take away the sin of the world. He gave his life a ransom for many. They shamed him. He was made a curse for us. It's written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. The cross is a tree. They lifted him up. He said, when you have lifted me up, then you're going to know that I'm the Son of Man. Like those two thieves on either side, one said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus said, and the other one tried to rebuke him and shut him up. We deserve what we got because they were thieves, but this man has done nothing amiss. He didn't do nothing wrong. So the other one, Jesus said unto him, the one who said that, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He said, today, verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So thank God. It's whatever he say, it hath been said, but I say. So he could be saved because Jesus said he could. He was a Jew. And then also that was before the commission, before the gospel was established. So shows you the concern and the love of God and how he works. So it was what he said. One believed. The other one tried to shut him up. Just like blind Bartimaeus, you can't. If you got this in you, you ain't going to shut up. You do. Sometimes some people, the Spirit directed Paul and them around some other cities, Asia, and told him to go down. He saw a vision by night, told him to go down in Macedonia and help us, this vision. So God knows who is going to receive his work. So you got to be more noble than they, talking the Bereans, they were more noble than they of Thessalonica. They received the word of God with readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So a lot of people talking, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to do that. And then the devil just keeps making a fool out of them. And the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. You got to get up and get out of there. So devil has people in compromising situations. So you got to make up your mind. And so that's what I did back when I came in. You got to just quit talking about it and do it. You can't let nobody talk you out of it. Just do it, like Nike say. Just do it, because you only have one soul. You got to stand before God for yourself. You can't be pointing a finger. See, the devil is accuser of the brother and always trying to blame, especially a child of God, try to blame you, to flip the script and say that you blaming other people. No, we're not ignorant people as children of God, as ministers and elders and whatever our titles may be. We take responsibility. We own up. We didn't, you know, people say, well, you think you better and all that. We don't think that. They feel that way. The Spirit of truth has come. He will prove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So because you are Holy Ghost filled, times I've experienced that in my life, numbers of times, people feel condemned. It ain't, I'm not doing nothing. It's the Holy Ghost in me. So that's, you can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. You know, they keep talking about His holiness, and you know who I'm talking about. No, it's God's holiness. Ain't no one man. The church should be holy. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Not just that one man. They keep talking about His holiness. That's ridiculous. So the point being, we have to believe God as children of God. Don't be afraid. So we got to, so God brings people together for a reason. So it's not, sometimes we meet people and we interact with people. We are connected with people. We have relationships with people, be it people that we work with or whatever. It's all good friendship and relationship, be it may, that's fine. But it has a even deeper part that the person may surrender themselves to God, because God uses people. That's why I say, ye are my witnesses, that you may know and believe me that I am He. Besides me, there is no Savior. This is way back in the book of Isaiah. So, it's the same thing. Ye are witnesses. Ye are my witnesses, my servants whom I have chosen. So, who can be a witness? You got to be a partaker to be a witness. You can't be a witness of something that you're not of. Like the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You can't be telling somebody else about it. You never had it. That's why I can tell people the other way, and you're not trying to knock people. Sometimes people just feel so condemned and offended. But like I said, I've drank enough to dive in and drown. Reason why I can talk about it, because I've done it. I've been there. So there's a better way than that. Budweiser can go out of business, as far as I'm concerned. All of that. Jim Beam and all the rest of them can go you know where, because all they're doing is making money and destroying people with their product that they have. So you got to know that. So that's why the devil hates the church, because you're putting more folks would say, forget that and turn their back on the world and all their stuff that they have to destroy you and walk with God, then you're not going to be supporting them. They're going to go under instead of capitalizing or profiting on people buying their product. So that's the good part. So you get saved, you have a new heart, a new mind. You don't do the things that you used to do. So, like I tell people, I say, I know what the story is if I wanted something to drink or whatever, but I don't have the desire. I don't have the desire because I'm a new creature in Christ. So that's not knocking nobody. So somebody trying to help people out. So it's going to be a sad day. Too many times, too many people, we've, like the Bible says, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Too many people who had an opportunity, and it's going to be missed opportunity. Because if you miss the rapture, you have to give your head. If ain't no baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, that Antichrist is not going to be playing. They're already chopping heads off, cutting them off. If you don't buy or sell, you're going to have to give your head. Because if you buy, if in order to buy or sell, you have to receive the mark or the name or the number to, and then so when you do that, you sow yourself. In the book of the Revelation, you sow yourself to hell. So you don't want to do that. So you have to give your head. So why not get ready now? Get right with God so you can fly out of here when the church is caught away out of here. So in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against Hebrews, because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, "Is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, my beloved, wherefore, my brethren, look ye out among ye seven honest men of good of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint this business." Now, they weren't no deacons. That's ridiculous. That's people saying that. They don't know. They were not deacons. So I go on here. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. So this is what the disciples were saying. They were saying, so, and saying, the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor, Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen, and were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So this man was under the influence, the unction, the inspiration, and the utterance of the Holy Ghost. They stubborn men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders of and the scribes, and came unto him, and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law." Now, how stupid is that? "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, talking about Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So we're talking about Stephen. So, you know, he was one of the first martyrs. So this man obviously knew the law. So like Jesus, he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill it. So that's why the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this is in Romans, the 8th chapter. And so we're not being condemning the law of Moses, but Christ, he didn't come to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. So that's what you got to know, what the Bible said. So this is in the 8th chapter of Romans, that quote that I just made. So he goes on here, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh." What is he talking about? The law. "God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteous..." Here's the key. Verse 4, Romans 8. "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity." That means it's the enemy against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. "And so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." What is he talking about? If you're walking in the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So he said, in another letter to the Corinthian church, Paul says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." So people think love is one thing, and it's the flesh, because, you know, between, like, what we call love, between, just because two people are single, they're not man and wife, that's wickedness in the sight of God. That's called fornication. At two people that are single, not married to each other, they would be fornicators. They would be considered wicked. So, I mean, that is not love. That is wickedness. So you got to know what the Bible is saying. So here they were, they saw Stephen as, his face was as the face of an angel. Then said the high priest, are these things so? Because they're saying he preached against that place, against Moses, saying this Jesus shall destroy this place. Yes, he is, because he is the God that gave Moses the law. Remember, Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, because he is very God. And so he goes on here, men and brethren and fathers, hearken, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Then came he out of the land, one of the Chaldeans, the land of the Chaldeans, and dwelt in Charan. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it, no, not so much to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for possession, to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And he spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, that he should bring them into bondage and entreat him 400 years. The nation whom ye shall be, they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after they shall after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac, and circumcised him the eighth day. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. The patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Shedan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no substance. When Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second time Joseph was made known to his brother. Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Pharaoh and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down to Egypt, and died, he and our fathers. Then were carried over to Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money, and the sons of Emor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians, was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brother and the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that he was oppressed, that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptians. He supposed his brother would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. The next day he showed himself, and unto them as they strove, and would have set them at once again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that had did his neighbor wrong thrust them away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Would thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? So that was what happened to Moses. He killed an Egyptian. He didn't think nobody saw him. He got out of there. Moses fled at the saying, was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begot 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness at Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire. That was God himself. itself. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. He drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him. So this we're talking about Moses here, and this is the message that Stephen is preaching, saying, I'm the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord unto him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Now all of this is in the book of Exodus that we're talking about. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and deliver by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. Now, this man was a mighty man of God, Moses was. There was not such terror that in the sight of men that God used the man Moses in such a mighty way. You know, he was the meekest man upon the earth. He was a type of Christ. That is Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up like unto your brother, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is a prophecy about Jesus. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness. See, in the book of Hebrews, it says, in the congregation in the wilderness, the self same thing. An angel which spake unto him at Mount Sinai, which our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom the fathers would not only, but thirst him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods, go before us as Moses. For this Moses, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not. What has become of him? They made a calf in the days of a sacrifice, and unto the idol, and rejoiced in the work of their hands. God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. O ye house of Israel, ye have offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your god Rephaim, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of the wilderness in the wilderness, as he had appointed speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion he seen, which also our fathers that came after bought it with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house, albeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, and what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and have slain among you, which shone before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now betrayers and murderers? Talking about Jesus, whom have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. Talking about Stephen, he being full of the Holy Ghost, looks up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. That's the place of authority, the right hand. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now that's Paul before his conversion. So, and they stoned Stephen. Now remember, he preached Jesus out of the Psalms. He preached Jesus out of the law here. He was preached out of the law, out of the prophets, out of the Psalms. He literally preached Jesus out of the law of Moses. They were so mad at him, they stoned him to death. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he, kneeling down, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, Stephen, that is, when they stoned him to death, he said, Lord Jesus, don't lay this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. They killed him, but he sleep in Jesus. We will end there, the 60th verse of the 7th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. So that is definitely substantiating that saying that I said. This is a perfect example. The Word of God will do one of two things. It'll make you shout and glad, or it'll make you fight and mad. And many battles and things that people get upset and get all bent out of shape. And that is, we don't have to say a word. It's not in the talking, but it's in the life you're living. And you don't have to say nothing, because the Holy Ghost is in you. You're just there, and people feel bad, and they want to make it be you. Oh, you think you this? Wow, that's pretty good. They're reading your mind. That is pretty good. The devil can't even read our mind. So we thank God for today's lesson. We'll talk to you on next time. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.